The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Leslie Kane, and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and I am joined for a breakdown as things may be beginning to heat up a little bit this cold September by Dan. Dan, welcome.
Howdy, howdy. I hope things do heat up. It is freezing here in the UK.
It is rather chilly, but the UFO topic may not be, Dan. But you know what? I have to say, first off, Dan, a little mention to Robert Bob Wood, who passed away, 96 years old, UFO researcher. His son, Ryan Wood, was a guest on the show a few months back talking about his book, Magic Eyes Only. Ryan's due to come back on the show in the next week or so anyway to discuss his follow-up book and a little bit more. And I think it'd probably be a good idea then to talk about his dad and his dad's work, because they did work together on NJ12 yeah. documents and things like that. But yeah, I'd never had the pleasure of speaking to Robert Wood, or I'm actually not overly familiar with his work either. Probably am indirectly. However, yeah, just a little sad point, because it's one of those things. It's a lot of UFO researchers have been doing this for so long that kind of time's up. And 96, a great run, so fair play.
Oh, that's an amazing run. And yeah, you're right, like, we stand on the shoulders of giants like him and other people who have passed, and it's always worth acknowledging that this takes a village, you know. We couldn't be here today without people like that.
Yeah, so yeah, very sad news, and wish Ryan and family all the best, and have Ryan back on in a couple of weeks to discuss his work and his father's work as well. But Dan, lots to crack on with, some news items. I was going to start off first asking, obviously had the interview with Lou Elizondo a few days ago, and just your thoughts on anything Lou said, not just the interview I done, but anything he said in between then or whatever else. So thoughts?
Yeah, there were quite a few things in your interview with Lou, actually, that was interesting. First of all, and I guess I can pull a little bit of news into it that we might talk about later, Lou talking about trying to be positive with Arrow, that, you know, it's run by humans, and humans are fallible, and sure, Kirkpatrick hasn't done the best job, but now there's a new head that we'll talk about at some point in this, and we've got to give them a chance, and hopefully they can right that ship. And I like Lou's attitude there.
Explosive news from Dan there, folks. Arrow run by humans.
Arrow run by humans. Yeah. Breaking news. But yeah, it's just worth remembering, you know, like the members change, and we can essentially get a do-over, hopefully, with this one. Loved what you spoke to about the microtechnology, and how Lou kind of pulled that into talking about whether viruses are alive. I think that's really important to acknowledge, because it may not be little gray men, you know, and when we find life in the universe, other intelligent life, it may not even be recognizable to even us now, you know, if we find it in 100 years or 50, whatever. It could be microbes that are collectively a hive mind or something like that. And we really got to start thinking outside of these boxes if we want to kind of solve this problem. Really interesting that Lou was talking about leaks when you asked him if there was going to be any more kind of like Tic Tac leaks and things like that. And he said, probably not. It doesn't need to happen anymore, because we've kind of shored up that chain of command and how the information.
And he hopes not, doesn't he? Actually said, he doesn't want there to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's clear Lou wants this handled properly by the powers that be. And I think that's, you know, totally fair enough. But I would say that the rust is kind of being knocked off that process, as he said, and we're getting to a point. I mean, even Corbell and Knapp, when they brought out certain videos, have said, you know, this information isn't getting to where it needs to go to properly be investigated and appreciated. And if we don't have the data, we can't protect ourselves or the airspace or people, you know? So
yeah,
I think that that's an important point there. There's one more bit towards the end where you asked him about the Nazca mummies. Mm. And he spoke about pretty much kind of echoing our points, really, when we've spoken about it, about how when you sensationalize something up front, it makes the conversation more difficult kind of down the line. And yeah, we said that was true of the Nazca mummies, and it's nice to see him kind of paying attention to that and having a mind for that, you know, because the way that you present, if you ask someone about UFOs and you let them talk about it, you'll have a good conversation. If you ask someone if they believe in aliens from Zeta Reticuli, you're going to have a different conversation. Yeah. So framing those kind of conversations is really important. You also touched on speaking to him about Stratton, which was really interesting. And he's full of praise for Jay Stratton, who he worked with at the UAP task force. And there's a little bit of news to talk about with that. So I'm really excited to kind of see how that rolls out. Lou never speaks about other people's experiences. And he mentioned during your interview that there were people's stories that were really important that we haven't heard that yet. And it's not his place to talk about. So I'm really excited to kind of get to those stories and hear them. Disappointed that we'll never see the 23-minute video. But are you surprised? Like, I'm disappointed, but also not surprised, you know?
Nah, not when you hear that it's got sensitive nuclear whatever in the background. Like, I think I get when it's like a Tic Tac video or a gimbal video, we can be annoyed we don't see more because it's over water, so you can't tell where that is. That could be water anywhere. It could be Loch Ness for all we know, right? Clearly not, but all you have to do is take off the sensor data around the sides, or even take a snapshot of just the object, and you could show the rest of the film, and that shouldn't give away any more detail. But if you've got things in the background of those videos, like a North Korean nuclear facility, or, you know, it's clearly Moscow, for example, then that's a different story. And as much as, you know, me having the authority, I'd be like, yeah, release it, do it, I don't care. You know, that's not my problem. I get why that won't come out. But there must be plenty more content available. What I am surprised we haven't had yet, which I suppose is in with that leak stuff, is more footage from pilots on their phones. Because remember, this was a thing a couple of years ago, wasn't it? When some of those legislations or things were signed, was it just the Navy or the Air Force as well, encouraging pilots to report and use their own phones to film some of this stuff? Because yeah, then that bypasses any classified, you know, your iPhone, your Samsung, whatever it may be, isn't a classified bit of kit. Maybe it is if it's military use and you're in a jet, whatever. But, you know, you can just film something next to your craft and maybe we would see something from there. Then again, some of that stuff does appear online and we get it dismissed as could be video game stuff, as nonsense, as CGI. There's probably at least one of those clips that has been dismissed, which actually is genuine. Do you know the one I always hope is?
Go on.
You know the one where it looks like someone's filming from inside like an airliner because the glass is frosted and you see the saucer type object come up at the window and kind of rise up past off.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah.
And people always go, that looks too good to be true. And you're like, well, what if that is the one? That's the one I'd always love to be like, that's the video.
And surely
smooth looking as well. There's such a lack of detail on the object, but we hear that's what they look like. Smooth, no seams, all that kind of stuff, you know, so meh.
Yeah, and surely when we see a bit of footage that's real, it is going to look too good to be true because it's going to look a little weird to us, right? All of the stuff we talk about with UFOs comes from experiences, so it makes sense. And just because you can hoax something, it doesn't mean that it's never real in a video. It's interesting with like the advent of AI and stuff like that, making it easier to produce these videos as well. And
it's going to make it really hard to discern good, genuine stuff. If in the last few years, folks have thought scrolling through social media and videos, you know, look too good to be true, some of the stuff that's coming out now looks unbelievable. Although some of it's still pretty ropey. Like I saw one where it's Gordon Ramsay in a kitchen, but then his food turns into like a unicorn or something in the middle of him moving a pan, and all that stuff's going to be wonderful when it's proper artists and experts using this to create movies, TV shows, games, whatever it might be. But it's going to be like borderline dangerous in the wrong hands because, it's always that thing from Bicentennial Man. I've said this before. When the guy's making Robin Williams' face, he says the secret to perfection is imperfection. And that's something that I think is always struggled with in terms of CGI, where things look too perfect and too real. And you don't get that realism because it looks too good.
And you hear that complaint about modern music as well, that stuff is overproduced because, you know, the drums are all tightened up and nothing's like slightly out of tune and things like that. And listening to music from back in the day, you know, you hear a bum note every now and then and it just humanizes things, you know? So, yeah, I would agree with that.
So off the back of some of that stuff, so Dan said there was a few good points of my interview with Lou, the rest was shit. Some of those, Dan, there are talking points off the back of. So the new Arrowhead, see what I've done there? So taking over from interim boss Tim Phillips, you've got Dr. John T. Koslowski. He is the new full-time director of Arrow. He's got a background in quantum optics and crypto mathematics. He has led NSA, National Security Agency, I believe that's the right thing, research teams, and a Pentagon press release last week when he was appointed, or kind of 10 days ago now. They said that the new appointment will aim to minimize technical and intelligence surprise by synchronizing scientific intelligence and operational detection, identification, attribution and mitigation of unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP, in the vicinity of national security areas. Under his leadership, Arrow will continue to examine the US government historical record relating to UAP, as well as efforts to declassify and release UAP-related records to the greatest extent possible. Not a lot known about the guy at the moment. I think it's like, is it a case of following on from Kirkpatrick to Phillips now to Koslowski that it's third time lucky? I think Tim Phillips was babysitting basically for 6 months. Yeah. So I don't think you can pin anything on Tim Phillips. He was just overseeing that. I imagine he had multiple other jobs and roles to do at the same time. He was kind of looking after Arrow, treading water. But does Arrow still have a role to play in this? I was surprised Lou Elizondo said the same, and I think Gary Nolan on Twitter again similar, saying hopefully Arrow can do something. Is there still a chance that Arrow has any positive impact on any kind of disclosure process Or is it still, we're going to be here in a year's time with more reports poo-pooing the subject, nothing being done, and a new director, or we get a whole new department? I honestly don't know at this point.
Yeah, I don't, you know, if anyone tells you they know about this stuff, they're fibbing. You know, we can hope for the best, prepare for the worst because of past experience. But Koslowski was in the UAP task force, so he has a good kind of past with this stuff. You know, Lou and Stratton and people like that have always sung the praise of the UAP task force and kind of said that it went off the rails afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's hopeful. But then at the same time, the UAP task force wrote a classification guide for UAP kind of records and files and things like that, where they classified all the UAP stuff. Various sources have kind of said they're not entirely responsible for that, but the proof will be in the pudding, right? And there is an upcoming kind of calendar event schedule where we'll very much get to see if it's going to be the same thing or different.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On the back of that then, with the event, were you talking about the hearing?
I am, yeah.
Right, okay, cool. So I'll move on to my next. We'll come back to Jay Stratton, because it's all kind of tied in, to be fair.
Please, yeah.
So Askapol's Matt Laszlo, again, one of the... I've got a few things I subscribe to. If there are people who I appreciate their research, their efforts, whatever it might be in making this, then I like to try and support back as well. And I do subscribe to Askapol folks. So if you enjoy kind of on the ground, immediate boots on the ground reporting, Matt Laszlo is literally running about Washington, chasing congressmen and women, senators back and forward, speaking to them on trains and trams, whatever it might be. I think jumping in the back of taxis with them at times to get a comment from them. He was speaking to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and she has confirmed there is a UAP hearing scheduled for this month. So we should have a public UAP hearing in for this month. So initial thoughts, Dan, especially around the fact that Kirsten Gillibrand seemed to champion the UAP subject for a while, then seemed to go kind of cold on it. Maybe some of us filled the vacuum of silence there with her having lack of interest, but then I don't think it's unfair because she did make some comments that seemed to backtrack on having a real interest in progression, disclosure, whatever you want to call it. But is this a good thing? Where are you at now with a public hearing?
I think someone like Gillibrand strikes me as someone who, I mean, she's part of the government, you know, she believes in due process and proper kind of organizations and leading. So I feel like once ARRA was established, she kind of put her faith in that. And that has been, you know, successful to varying degrees for depending on who you ask. But she's always sung Sean Kirkpatrick's praises. But in the interview with Askapol, she seems to suggest that this upcoming hearing would be based around Arrow, and that she wants them to show what they have identified, what they haven't identified. And she specifically said that she sees it as a chance to build some credibility back up. So I'm hopeful that exactly what she said will happen. She also mentioned she wants the public to feed in sightings. So I feel like along with that, the fact that she is a co-sponsor of the UAP Disclosure Act again this year, not leading it like she was kind of, you know, with the other ones, but yep. She signed on sponsoring it. We'll see if she kind of, you know, puts up when it comes to crunch time with that. But it sounds like she seems hopeful that this is going to be a productive hearing and that we're going to see a better side of Arrow. That's not just, you know, marketing and rebranding and stuff like that. I remain positive. I love that she's interested. I think she brings a lot of credibility to it, as with, as do like everyone that signed on. It remains a bipartisan bill, and hopefully the hearings are headed by some strong members of both parties to kind of demonstrate that. I'd like to see AOC and people like that who were very interested in the government waste side of things and efficiency and so on and so forth, kind of, you know, being transparent with what they're spending. It could be really interesting. The first hearing that I'm going to say AMSOG, even though that's not the it's hard to pronounce, AOIMSG, yeah. That office between the UAPTF and Arrow, that hearing was, excuse my French, a shit show. And it really showed kind of a either purposeful obfuscation or just completely incompetence. And anything better than that would be an improvement for me.
And I think it was both. I think it was obfuscation through incompetence. And probably. I think Gray and Moultrie were put out there deliberately knowing less than they had to. Because if you want to like totally mess something like that up and say I'm the gatekeeper and I know folk underneath me, or at least folks I can say, look, I'm going to throw me a bone here. I'm going to put you out in front of those. And you know what? Don't worry about how much or how little you know about this. Just go and do it. And no matter how badly it goes, it's fine. Ideally, that's it. So just go out and deny, or be honest because you know nothing. And they've sat there and went, yeah, you know, complicit in the lie, but probably not lying to the extent that a lot of people thought they did. And end result was people went, yeah, nothing to it.
Yeah. What was the plausible deniability, isn't it? That's what you want. So they're not lying. They can never be brought up on charges of lying under oath or anything like that. So yeah, we'll see. Previously, Askapol had said that they were hearing that there were two hearings in September.
Yeah.
So it seems like that's changed. Like, I feel like one was going to be Arrow when it was spoke about before. One was going to be Arrow and one was going to be, you know, some whistleblowers or people that, you know, we wanted to go under oath. It seems like that's changed. So we'll see if they happen or whether they're combined. But something I loved that Askapol asked one of the senators coming out of a meeting, Heinrich, I forget the guy's first name, unfortunately, but he had no idea what any of this was when Matt Laszlo from Askapol asked him. However, the next day, Heinrich had signed on as a co-sponsor to the UAP Disclosure Act. So I wanted to emphasize that just to show how much just having the conversation with these senators impacts it. So call your senators, you know, go to uapcaucus.org and follow their kind of scripts and call your senators and let them know you want them to support this because you can really make a difference.
Yeah. What do you expect then, suppose, little discussion on it? Like, what do you realistically think can happen at this? I don't think we're going to get, you know, not going to get videos, not going to get whistleblowers. I don't think we're going to get any of that. Can you see it being pretty generic and due processy, or do you think we're going to get some meaty questions? And because obviously Gillibrand in that first public one, she was pretty harsh, wasn't she? On was it Bray or Moultrie or who was the guy? No, that was. Do you remember she was going through someone where she was basically like, "Your job is to know, so make sure you know for next time." She was pretty.
Oh yeah, that's right. I think that was a hearing that was separate. It was like a,
but it was brought up somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. And
whoever the guy was, he was quite new to his role.
I don't know.
He dismissed it, didn't he? He was like, yeah. And she was like, well, no, it's your job to know. I expect you to know. And he shit himself. He was like, oh God, you know, it was the old Simpsons thing of the Pope, the pen. Oh, well, that's not going to cut it with this Pope. And he goes, ho, ho. It was a little bit like that. But I don't know. I wouldn't expect too much. I don't think this is going to be the dam breaking whistleblowers type thing. But I think if it can just push things forward a little bit more, then off the back of Lou Elizondo's book, this James Fox documentary, if we can get anything else from David Grush, maybe Grush is there. I don't know, as part of it. That would be nice to see. That'd be good. And I know you've still got your Luna, your Rubio, Warners, Burchettes, whoever else is involved in that group, pushing for potential field hearings on their own as well. So do they follow up with something, or does it get lost in the fact that we're getting closer to the elections now as well, and those kind of big debates are taking center stage?
It really surprised me, actually, that they're doing the hearing this month because it's so close to the elections. Yeah. I thought everything would be pushed back till afterwards and, you know, things were settled. It shows, you know, there's clearly importance and they're prioritizing this, which is great. I'm hopeful. Sorry, go on.
Or devil's advocate, Dan. Mm-hmm. They are getting it out of the way.
Oh, getting out, yeah. That's true.
Not to put a dampener on it, but just thinking of other ways it could come across.
No, you're totally right. But I've got to wonder, you know, with Lou's book and everything like that coming out and the public interest in this being enormous, you know, those first hearings kind of echoed. They were identified by Time as like one of the 100 top moments of the year and stuff like that. People that I know who aren't interested in the UFO thing knew that they were doing UFO hearings and just thought it was weird and didn't bother watching. To see another one, you know, after those historic first ones, would just show a continuation of interest in this issue and would perk a lot of ears up, I think. What I'd love to see is not just something where they essentially repeat talking points from Arrow that we've seen in the past, you know, letting the public know this is how we kind of vet UFO sightings and this is what we do. I'd like to see a little more transparency around that process so that these kind of review boards that they use to vet their solutions to cases aren't faceless and can be kind of held public account a little bit more. The fact that Gillibrand said she wants them to show what they have and haven't identified, I mean, that could go two ways. It suggests to me that maybe we will see some video, but maybe we'll only see video for the cases that they have solved, you know, where we're not going to see anything meaty, that like that 23-minute video that was taken on classified sensors and stuff like that. I think we're more likely to see stuff like the video that we were shown in that first hearing where they struggled to kind of get the framing up and stuff like that. But hopefully with someone that knows how to use a computer this time.
It was VLC Media Player, wasn't it? Which was one of the easiest to use and one of the best free softwares on the go. And they struggled to get that. Although that could also work the other way, Dan, where they accidentally put the wrong video on and the guy's like, oh no, that's the 23-minute video. Take it down.
Human moments can go in our favor sometimes, right?
100%. Jay Stratton, you've mentioned when I was speaking to Lou Elizondo, has been a name that in the last couple of weeks has kind of come back to the forefront. He was speaking at Phenomicon in Utah alongside people like George Knapp, Mika Hanks and whatnot. I say that because they all played music on stage together. Some folks may have seen the clip of that. But Jay Stratton was he the head of OSAP or one of the leaders of OSAP, fair to say?
I guess we'll find out. Like, we've heard that he was the boss. Running point, I would say.
He's mentioned in Lou Elizondo's book. He's a name that's been familiar with some researchers, especially for many years now, but coming more and more to the forefront. And he has signed a deal with HarperCollins to publish his memoir, represented by Dan Farah. It includes things like TV and movie rights, but that's just a common thing with any memoir that you would
is really involved, isn't he?
Yeah, Dan Farah. And if this sounds familiar, folks, this is the exact same thing from Lou Elizondo when he signed his deal with HarperCollins through Dan Farah. Exact same setup. Jay Stratton bringing forward his memoir. There are rumours, and I suppose it's fair to say it needs to be rumours at this point because we've not really had Jay Stratton come out and talk. Although, he's got a book. I've seen a few people rather pessimistically say, got a book deal, started tweeting. I think that was on the Discord.
That's right. I was like,
do you know what? It's fair enough though, isn't it? But I imagine as part of that book deal, you're probably told you have to send a couple of tweets and promote it as well, which just makes sense. But there are rumors or rumblings, and I asked Lou Elizondo about this, that Jay Stratton, who was involved with OSAP into ATIP before he moved on, potentially has a slightly different or a different version of events to Lou. And there are some folks saying, well, this means Lou is lying. Well, this means Jay's disinformation. This means they're both lying.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Who knows? I think it's just a case of literally just guessing, Dan. Speculation central at this point.
No, it's back. People can quote you.
People will quote me and take a little clip of my tech audio and put it out anyway on video. That's what happens these days. But I think it'll just be a case of they have slightly differing versions of some events. That may be the passage of time. That may be just the way they remember them. Or maybe there are just some mistruths in there for various reasons. And I think I've said from the get-go, I don't believe there's anyone involved at the official level in the UFO topic, especially from government, that for one reason or another hasn't lied about something at some point. And not to say that it's malicious or nefarious, but there may be reasons things weren't said when they were said. And that's something, Dan, actually I'll come back to when in a couple of minutes when we talk about weaponized, something George Knapp said on that, which was interesting. So, yeah, what are your thoughts then on Jay Stratton's book coming out? Very similar to Lou Elizondo's.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Really intriguing for me that Dan Farrow's cut his hands in all these pies, because he's also involved in producing Secret Machines from To the Stars. So he just seems to be the producer of choice for these guys. And I wonder how involved he's been behind the scenes over the years, you know, kind of developing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. He's also producing the documentary that everyone was talking about. What is this secret documentary? As was confirmed by Luis Elizondo, it's Dan Farah producing that as well. So he's an agent, producer, extraordinaire to the UFO stars, it seems now.
And a heavy hitter too. You know, if people listening have seen Ready Player One, he produced that. He worked with Ernest Cline to produce that, and the guy is very successful. So as far as someone that knows his way around Hollywood to get these things done, he seems to be the go-to guy. But I'd love to talk to him just to see how involved he's been. For me, the interesting bit of the story is going to come kind of post OSAP and ATIP, but before the UAP task force. There's kind of like a 5 or so year gap there where people like John Greenwald have uncovered documents that suggest that UAP were being investigated by the DOD kind of officially and across kind of the board, across a number of organizations through working groups before we heard these kind of official announcements. So I'm really curious about that and how deep that ran, because it kind of shows the disparity between the information we're getting from the government and the information we're getting from the people who worked on this stuff for the government. And I think it's really important for the public to understand that whether you believe UAP or ET or whatever, the government has been mucking around with this stuff, covering things up, and that's not okay. So it doesn't matter which side of the conversation you're on here, we should all be expressing frustration with government officials who just aren't giving us the full truth here. And people like Jay Stratton and Luis Elizondo writing their books kind of gets it out and on record to a lot of people. And we know these days most things come down to kind of popularity contests, right? If they're not on people's minds, if they're not reaching people, then they're just not going to be spoken about. Lou's book got to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. I'm hopeful the Jay Strattons can do the same. Jay's been a little more elusive than Lou has, so that remains to be seen whether, you know, the clout is there. But I think anyone that read Imminent and was interested in Imminent would be interested in this book as well. It's got a huge publisher pushing it. So yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. It could essentially work as a 2.0 to what Lou's kind of book started.
I've also said a few times, Dan, that I get the feeling David Grush might have a book deal in the works.
Possibly.
And that could be why he's went quiet. And let's be fair, when these people sign these deals, Jay Stratton won't be jumping out and doing interviews, I don't think, going forward. I wonder if Phenomicon was his last appearance of that kind until his book comes out, because they're generally told to do like a media blackout where, you know, get your book written. And that's the thing, we don't know how much of the book's done. If it's started, if it's just been signed, I'm guessing that's it, just signed. And he will now have, you're probably looking at what, a year, year and a half before we see the book?
Probably, yeah.
Potentially. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one. And then if David Grush puts out something or comes back out, I'm intrigued to see how that one goes in terms of pushing the conversation and whatever direction it's going to push it. I think it'll give us at least a fuller picture of what was happening with OSAP to ATIP. And I think at that point, between Lukatsky speaking in Skinwalkers at the Pentagon and on his interviews with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell, between Lou Elizondo's book and Jay Stratton's, we should have a relatively, or as clear a picture of OSAP to ATIP that we're going to have.
Yeah.
And a whole load more, and a whole load more questions as well.
Yeah, as always, right?
Yes.
Answer one question and three rise in its place.
Yeah.
There was something that Jay said that, what was it he said in his announcement, that the disclosure process has begun? And it was really curious phrasing, right?
Whether did you see me tweeting about that?
I did, it was a really good question. Because you said, wait, it's begun now, or it's going to begin, or like, when did it begin?
Or it has begun.
Yeah.
Because I could see that as that being really petty and slinging a bit of mud at Lou to say that, well, now it's actually official because I'm going to sort this out. Because that would look a bit... It does look a little bit like you're kind of underhandedly referencing, well, we have, or purposely ignoring... You've just had this big book come out talking about the very thing you're also going to write about as well, but from your perspective, completely validly as well. But that disclosure's begun now seems like it could be a shot at that. And I would just like to see Jay Stratton clear that up to say, no, I just mean that the whole process is underway and it includes all of this stuff. Or he comes out and says, no, I'm going to make sure the correct story's told, in which case then there is a definite disconnect between both. However, I would find that maybe more strange now, given they're involved with the same company, the same agent, you know, competing against each other. That doesn't sound like it would be right.
Yeah, and from Lou's book, it sounds like they were working in tandem anyway, you know, that Lou was kind of working on one piece of the pie and Jay was pushing it in other areas of government, you know, a good one too. But it also made me think of, so Kurt Jaimungal interviewed Lou, Kurt Jaimungal from Theories of Everything, that is, interviewed Lou. And there were a number of really intriguing things said, but one that stuck out to me is Lou said, maybe the government are waiting to get a cue from public conversation. And we've spoken about this before, whether since, say, the 40s or whenever this began, have the government kind of tried to have this conversation and depending on the reaction of the public, either stopped or gone back to the drawing board. And Jay kind of saying, you know, the disclosure process has begun, along with Carl Nell's presentation at the Sol Foundation, where he kind of laid out a timeline for this kind of stuff, made me wonder, you know, have they been rolling it out time and time again? And if that's the case, is now the moment that it's succeeding? Are we like finally kind of getting traction with this kind of line of conversation and public acceptance of this issue because we're talking about it properly? we still get occasionally, you know, bad interviewers and interviews that play the X-Files music and stuff like that. But it's changed. It's few and far between now. The conversation seems to be serious now, by and large, a lot more so than it used to be. So I'm curious. That's something I'd love to ask Jay about.
Just on that, Dan, I'm just, for those on the YouTube who are seeing me turn away, but for the audio folks, you'll get no idea. HR McMaster made a comment. So HR McMaster is, again, Army, US National Security Advisor, Army veteran, lecturer. He's a fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University. Really serious dude. He was a 26th assistant to the President for National Security Affairs. So again, highly qualified, kind of came out of nowhere. And in his interview, Dan, that I have zero details of because I forgot to write it down. It wasn't a UFO interview necessarily, but I'm sure I'll find it. Yeah. He was asked about the UFO topic in conversation and basically said on this interview that, well, yeah, there's some really interesting things. I don't know. Can you get the quote, Dan, if you got it handy?
I can pull it up now.
I've also got it. If this goes any longer, I'll remove it. But have you got it? Yeah.
Oh no, I don't. I thought you said you had it.
Nah. So he was.
While you have a gander, one of the reasons I think this is a really important statement is because we've heard previous directors of national intelligence like John Radcliffe and acting directors of national intelligence like Avril Haines speak about the UAP issue and talk about it in a really just profoundly serious way. And I don't think people have really appreciated where they were coming from. John Radcliffe was, you know, he spoke when he was out of the role, but he said that there were things that they couldn't explain. He didn't downplay the issue when he was asked about it. He emphasized the importance of it and the weirdness of it. Avril Haines kind of danced around it a little bit, but yeah, Finished what she said at an event by saying, you know, that some of these things are just, you know, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, but some of these things are essentially just known, like adversaries and things like that. And then the thing she finished with, which set UFO Twitter on fire, was saying that there may be some things that come extraterrestrially, which is kind of a mouthful, but it points to a certain direction, doesn't it? That they keep seeding this little thought into the conversation that these aren't normal prosaic things that we're seeing. These are anomalous and they cannot explain them.
Yeah, his comment, he was on the Times list of the top 100 most influential people in 2014. That's reasonable achievement, I'm sure. And as a former NSA advisor to the president, like I said, his comment was, and I can't remember the interview, but it wasn't a UFO one, but he basically said, there are phenomena that have been witnessed by multiple people that are just inexplicable by the science available to us. That's a pretty conclusive comment. You know,
heavy, right?
Not just like we can't identify, because that can still be Russian, Chinese, whatever, right? It's by the science available to us. So that's a pretty telling comment. From HR McMaster, General HR McMaster. So, and it's not, I know Matthew Pines, when I was speaking to him, had commented a little bit about a big personality or presence coming forward to talk about the topic towards the end of the year. He said almost immediately online, this was not what he was talking about. So if anyone was curious with Matthew Pines, when I spoke to him, if you haven't heard it, go and listen, because Matthew was great. Different voice in the UAP scene. He said this is not what he was talking about, but you can imagine that caused a little ripple, at least, which is pretty cool in the whole UFO UAP topic.
And we all know ripples build up, you know, sometimes they become waves, and this is the kind of feeling that I'm getting, that anyone that's been in this subject following since 2017, you know, since the Stars Academy of Science and Technology did its thing, These ripples have been building. More and more qualified, very senior people who absolutely would know about this stuff are coming forward to tell us and kind of echo that Obama comment where he said, you know, there are things in the sky that we can't explain, essentially, you know, patterns and things like that. And saying that we don't have the science to explain it as well. Like, dear God, like science is so advanced. America put so much money into its military that the sensors they have are insane. they see things that, you know, we wouldn't even think about kind of making senses for. And yet they're saying it falls outside of what they're able to kind of understand, well, with the science that we have available to us today. That's a big statement, a really big statement, because the science we have available to us today isn't solid atoms and things like that. It's quantum. It's cutting edge stuff. So if this stuff doesn't fit, what the hell is it?
Yeah, his language was incredibly deliberate. And Dan, before we get to some listener stuff, just a few talking points from the recent weaponized episode with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell. The episode was largely actually around Colares, highlighted in Luis Elizondo's book, Story from Brazil, 1977, where essentially, we're not going to do a whole episode here on Colares. I've got...
Hi, who here loves when their nails are perfectly done? Me. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle, and I started Olive in June because, let's be real, we all deserve to have gorgeous nails, but who wants to spend a fortune or half their day at the salon? And that's why I created the Manny system, so you can have that salon-perfect manicure right at home. And guess what? The best part? Each Manny only costs $2. Yep, you heard me, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 salon trips that eat up your day. Now you can paint your nails whenever you want, wherever you want. And trust me, you're going to be obsessed with your nails and everyone is going to ask you, where did you get your nails done? And here's a little something extra. Head over to oliveandjune.com and get 20% off your first Manny system with code FRESHMANNY20 at oliveandjune.com/FRESHMANNY20. That's code FRESHMANNY20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/FRESHMANNY20. You're all set for a nail glow up. Let's get those nails looking fab, shall we?
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Researcher Tiago Tocchetti, who was on that episode, is coming on with me in a couple of weeks. He was meant to be on a few weeks ago, and we just couldn't get the exact date and time together arranged. He's one of Brazil's foremost researchers on the UAP topic, especially now AJ Javard passed away in the last year or so. But he was talking about Colares, which Luis Elizondo, like I say, mentioned in Imminent, where basically for a period of time, people who lived in Colares were attacked and hunted by UFOs, UAP, you know, laser-like beams hitting people, not only sucking their blood, but also taking iron from their blood, rendering many of them anemic. People quoted seeing blood leaking from them, like something physical was in the light beams, potentially. It seemed unprovoked. There are reports that the Brazilian military at the time basically observed the events and filmed footage. Yep. They basically observed and never helped to see what was happening, which is really interesting. Medical records disappeared from hospitals. Officially, there is one death recorded, but unofficially, reports are there seems to be many more attributed to the events, which is really interesting. So I thought that was pretty cool to see that highlighted by Jeremy and George as an event, and I'll have Tiago on as well. Just on the Colares story, Dan, your thoughts on that as an event?
Colares is insane as far as UFO story goes, like insanely great to talk about because so much happened and there's so much recorded by the government. You can even go to the official government website of Brazil and they have a page there of the night of the UFOs and it talks about all of this. So They've at least put up a lot and tried to be transparent about it. What went missing that they weren't able to put up or whether they are actively hiding things in the modern day, I couldn't say because we just don't know, right? And it makes me wonder if this is happening in Colares, there's no way it hasn't happened anywhere else. So what UFO events have we not heard about that are similar? other events that kind of have similarities that could be kind of drawn into the same pool. And it makes me think of, so in an episode of Unidentified, they talk about an Italian helicopter being attacked by a UAP, that one of its wings was damaged and it had to land. This was a series of events in, I'm going to mess up the pronunciation of this now, but it was a one street town in the north of Sicily called Caneto di Caronia. And over the course of an extended amount of time, they kept being kind of like mysterious fires. And people reported kind of these weird happenings, kind of like poltergeist kind of activity. And a lot of it sounds similar to Colares. And there's kind of room for, you know, if there were orbs and things like that, it's never been talked about. But there was a picture shown in Unidentified that showed an object seemingly following the helicopter before the collision happened.
Yeah.
When you kind of read about this event, you find that the government investigated and there was a source that kind of came from off the coast in the middle of the water. And, you know, Colares is kind of, you know, it's not very far from the coast. And I wonder, with the connection to water with UAP, Lua emphasized it in Imminent again, if, you know, the source of it was something anomalous. And that's another event then suddenly that's similar. One thing about Colares that really intrigues me is when you go back through the records and you look at kind of the reports, some of the early reports are just kind of, they're encounters, but there are no injuries. And it seems like the injuries began when one person was confronted with it, with an orb, and they pulled their gun on it, and the person was attacked. And then from that point on, the attacks kind of seem to get more numerous. And I know plenty of people kind of express concern with the military engage in these things. You know, maybe just seeing a gun kind of presents a threat to something that's not necessarily from here, or, you know, could be from here but isn't human. And it gives me the chills to think about, because we are very, you know, there's a lot of war around the world. I don't think everyone is violent. I don't think everyone's first action with kind of altercations would be to cause war, but certainly a lot of governments in the world are committing wars against each other. And it's worth being cognizant of how that looks to something outside of humanity, that it would make us look like a violent, warlike species. And with Secret Machine's third book, you know, of the God's Man and War series, War, coming out soon, I'm really intrigued to hear people's thoughts around that. Because we're essentially being misrepresented if violence is the first thought. Because, like I say, most people, you know, you're not violent. All the people I know in my life aren't violent. It just seems to be kind of a military thing, because the world is very militaristic these days. Is that human nature, or isn't it? And yeah, I'd like to invite the audience to kind of comment on that, and how they feel that it maybe doesn't represent humanity in the best light. Invite challenge.
So the night of the UFOs thing is different to Colares. That was 1986.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Just in case anyone's looking them up, night of the UFOs was like 20 UFO sightings, or 20 odd UFO sightings across Brazil. But Tiago talks about that as well on the episode with George and Jeremy. So just on that, right? Because I was going to bring this up with you. So essentially, you've got the conversation that the UFO phenomenon is very US centric, and then I think it's fair to say South America, especially countries like Brazil, Peru, Mexico, have a rich history of UFO, UAP sightings, encounters, conversations, you know, tapestry texts going back hundreds of years and whatnot, that it just is the case that it's because there are bases for UAP or UFOs in the water around the continental US and South America. Do you think it's just that simple? Because it would point to that for me, that whatever it is, or whatever some of this is, which comes on to my second point in a moment, which you mentioned, is it's based in the water, and there are just bases all around that, the Americas.
It's possible. And when we kind of follow it back in South America, a lot of it is kind of, I wouldn't say disguised, because I'm not sure how intentional it is. It's just the framework that you have. But a lot of it is kind of painted with religious approaches that, you know, we hear about. I know Fatima isn't there, but there are plenty of kind of events like that in South America that are seen as Marian apparitions. But actually, when you look into them, it's orbs of light and things like that. And people just using the framework of the time to talk about them.
You mentioned about the military, and is it a human thing that there's violence with this phenomenon and whatnot? I don't think we can say that. I think there could be an element of it. But I think what the military encounter is one specific aspect of this phenomenon. I don't think they have ET in craft buzzing their ships. I think the Tic Tacs and stuff like that are empty. I think those are kind of drones, observation, whatever they are. If what the Omaha and the Russell and all these kind of events were indeed kind of UAP, I don't think they are manned, if we can say that, or, you know, they don't have biologics inside of them.
Like they have remote control.
Yeah, kinda, something like that. Yeah, like they're just little drones, but for something else. So that would make sense to me. But then if you've got people who, like Whitley Strieber and others, are having really negative experiences, then there is a violent aspect, whether they think they're being violent or not, just from what they do. So there are people who have really unpleasant experiences in this UFO, UAP conversation, especially abductees and experiencers will tell you that. Not all of them, but some. But I do get what you mean, where is it, do we draw this? And I wonder then, is it that, and this isn't necessarily the situation for Colares, because we don't know necessarily what the objects were. But if we provoke, are these things automatically set to defend themselves or attack back? So that makes sense.
We hear that the orbs kind of have colors, right? That they shift between colors. And I think Lou suggested they might be modes. From like,
which does not help me as a colorblind person. You know, that... Oh, look, a weird one. Ah, no, don't touch it.
Yeah, right. So really, then, the issue might be communication and the problems with communication. You know, we show a gun, but we're not using it. It's just, you know, we're cautious. But then we kind of invite that kind of challenge and attack or that defensive kind of mode. And like you say, it might not be intentional. It might just be a part of the technology. And I think Lou's spoken about this before. You know, what was the analogy he used? That if you stand behind like the jet engine of a 747, you're going to get hurt, but it's not designed to hurt you. So it's kind of if we don't understand each other's intent properly, then we're going to have these teething issues. And I remember as well, I did an interview a while back with Michelle Fournet about Whale Song, and Lou submitted a question for me to ask her about how would you communicate with a species that was nonverbal. And it really intrigued me. You know, the answer was great, but just asking that question, Lou asking that question, really intrigued me, because if something can't speak English, if it doesn't have even our sense of up and down, left and right, like these things that we see are really basic, then how do you even start to say we come in peace, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking before, talking about the orbs and colors, like traffic lights. You know, if you're sitting at a red light and you choose to go through it, is it the light that's hurting you, or is it the fact you've kind of not obeyed what you should have been doing? But, you know, different people, different countries, not reading the situation at the time, go ahead and something else hits you. And it's a consequence of not reading the situation. But
what if the colors to us don't look the same as the colors to them? And that's the point of contention. You know, you joked about being colorblind, but it's a very real thing we have to think about. We thought dogs saw in black and white at one point, and now we know that they don't necessarily see. There are other animals that see different parts of the spectrum. So what if that's the problem? You kind of, it's hard to even fathom.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges.
On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The issue, when it's things like that you need to solve, and if you can't even identify the issue or the question... I don't mean to sound hopeless. It's really intriguing, but it's going to take work.
Couple of comments, Dan, from Knapp and Corbell in that one that I thought were really interesting. Three of them particularly. George Knapp emphasizes, one, the importance of the New York Times article of 2017, but highlights very quickly, and this was them talking about the Stratton book coming out and OSAP and ATIP. He says there were mistakes in that article that have never been cleared up or corrected. He does highlight, for example, ATIP never got $22 million.
Sure.
OSAP did, which is very fair, but they've never gone back and corrected that. But he seemed to indicate there are other inconsistencies or inaccuracies in that article. And I wonder, is that George Knapp hinting at there may be parts of the story, for whatever reason, that Lou Elizondo has got wrong or maybe haven't mattered yet, just to get the story out and maybe come clear in time? I'm not too sure on that. As part of that, the second point was Jeremy Corbell says to Knapp.
George Corbell.
George Corbell.
Fusion.
Yeah, Jeremy Knapp. Corbell says to Knapp, is one of the primary reasons OSAP even existed, was it to take custody of an intact craft from Lockheed Martin and bring it in through the front door, which is why the large hangar was set up, which is why the $22 million was provided, and that Bigelow and Co. were looking to basically take custody of this craft from Lockheed Martin. They were going to divest themselves of it. And George Knapp basically says that looks very likely, yeah, that Lockheed was going to give OSAP a craft. So that was one of the whole reasons that OSAP ever existed. So even forgetting ATIP, which was obviously what came of it, OSAP was there to take custody of a craft, and it just never got there, which is why things kind of maybe went the way they did, along with a whole load of other reasons. I would be really interested to see if that comes up at all in Stratton's book. That would be a huge talking point.
Yeah, and Lou touched on it in his book. He spoke about it. But it wasn't an intact craft. They just said material, right?
Yeah.
And material can be anything from, you know, a tiny shred of something,
yeah,
to a full-size craft. So,
yeah,
you know, there's vagueness there, and that's not a lie. That's just being vague to kind of talk about it. But Lou asked some very important questions, I think, and about, you know, why the sudden change of heart? Why suddenly would they want to give this stuff over? And it's been suggested that Lockheed, in kind of, that they realized essentially that this was problematic, that they were in custody of it, and they wanted to get shot of it so that fingers,
yeah,
wouldn't be pointed at them when it came around. We can't confirm that because we haven't heard from anyone at Lockheed. But it's very intriguing that that Steve Justice, the guy who was in charge of Skunk Works, the more experimental part of, you know, Lockheed there, was involved into the stars, along with, you know, Tom posted. He didn't share the person's name. He was identified as Eric in the post. He was another person from Skunk Works at one of Blink-182's shows, along with Steve Justice. So there seems to be something to this. Lockheed seemed to want to get this out for some reason. And I'm sure we'll hear more about it going forward, but really intriguing, right?
And Ross Coulthart had talked about that as well, didn't he, a little while ago, mm-hmm. that there were private contractors, aerospace companies, rumoured to be Lockheed, that were looking to divulge themselves of this when
that
whole legislative piece was coming out, and they were talking about giving them 180 days to tell them who had what and stuff like that. So,
and if I remember correctly, it was said that it was the CIA that shut it down. And that's really, I mean, we've had John Ramirez from the CIA talking about this stuff, and all roads seem to lead back to this organization that has no oversight. That, you know, even someone in charge of the CIA might not know all of the programs going on underneath them. Something could have been set in motion years ago. I don't want to talk out of turn and get my phones tapped, but maybe.
You know, the CIA would say that all you hear is all hearsay, Dan.
I wish someone would tell me what was right.
That's the one. And thirdly, Corbell asks Knapp if OSAP had access to the Brazilian military's alleged 22 hours of footage filmed in Colares. And Knapp said it seemed genuine, like he isn't sure, and if it is there, it's locked away since OSAP became ATIP and whatnot, but he would love to try and dig away at that and try and find out from the people they know that are involved maybe with the program still going on and investigations, that is there that footage there from 77 that allegedly the Brazilian military filmed that was potentially taken custody of. So that would be pretty cool to see as well.
It'd be amazing. For you, what would you prefer? So say that footage is going to come out anyway. Would you prefer it to be a leak, or would you prefer it to be an official government release?
And would it be the same footage?
Yeah.
Nothing changes, no shortening of durations, nothing like that?
No, same footage.
I wouldn't care then.
Okay.
I suppose for the greater good, you'd want it to be official, but... if it was quickness, then... But if Corbell and Knapp release that through themselves, there's always going to be question marks because of custody and everything else. I get that. But do you know what? At this point, though, from a government point of view, there's that whole element of, well, why are we trusting, quote-unquote, the government?
Yeah.
The government's a big thing, and the government's not one person. It's a lot of people and a lot of apartments and a lot of agendas that are all working, some against each other, some for each other.
We could do with some kind of independent UAP review board. Contact your senators, tell them you support UAP Disclosure Act. It's in there.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And then we get it, and people don't like who's on the board, and then they all kick
probably.
So we'll see how long this next part goes, talking listener questions, folks. But that may be the end of part one, likely the end of part one, because that's been a good hour now. We've been going, talking through all those kind of news points. So thank you very much, folks, if you're leaving us there for a day or two, and then we'll get the rest of the content out for you with the listener questions. If you're on the paid feeds, then as a thank you, here's the second part straight away for you.
That is all for part one. Part two will be out in the next couple of days. You can listen to this episode already in full, ad-free, and with no sponsors for less than the price of a coffee. If you head on over to Patreon or Apple, you can subscribe to the podcast for less than the price of a coffee, or take up the 2 weeks free trial that are available on those platforms. You can head on over to Spotify and search That UFO Podcast Premium and get access to this episode in full, no adverts, no sponsorships, and also with some extra bonus content as well. Thanks for listening, folks.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.